Okay, let's turn to Luke, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Gee, it's amazing, isn't it? Luke chapter 1. I'm just going to talk about Christ's vineyard. Luke chapter 1, and we'll read here a prophecy of John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. So we'll start in verse 67. And his father, i.e. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Now we know that John the Baptist was in the house of Levi. So he's referring here to Jesus Christ, who's of the house of David. Verse 70, "And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." So we serve him without fear, without worry, knowing that what we're doing is right. "In holiness, being separate, and righteousness before him in all the days of our life. And thou," looking at the child, John the Baptist, "thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest," or the prophet of Jesus Christ, "for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." And we know that was the function. It was prophesied as well in the spirit of Elijah that John the Baptist will go before Jesus Christ and prepare his ways, to prepare a new way of baptism by full immersion, repentance, so that then Jesus Christ could have a pathway to follow and preach more about the kingdom of God. Verse 77, "to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring on from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So I'm starting this, the title of this talk is Christ's Vineyard. And Jesus Christ, we use that term Christ, that's the anointed one. Jesus was his name that was given to the man, and Christ meant that he was anointed by God. And it says here, verse 78, says, John the Baptist will prepare his way, and whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. He'll prepare the way that the day spring from on high. What a beautiful way to describe Jesus Christ, this day spring, this refreshing, like that cool water. It's just so wonderful. And that's what he is in the Spirit. Before we received the Holy Spirit, we're desert. There was no Spirit. There was no life. We received the Holy Spirit as a consequence of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it's that day spring, that refreshing. And it's just amazing when you first receive the Holy Spirit, this download of information and joy and love and peace that comes with this day spring has visited us. And then it says at the end of verse 79, the purpose was to guide our feet into the way of peace. So Jesus Christ came so that our feet could be guided, that light will be given to those that sit in darkness and the shadow of death. We dwelt in the shadow of death, and we see it around now, the scriptures refer to, in an instance, let the dead bury the dead. Those that do not have the Spirit do not have life. So those that have been called out of darkness and the shadow of death being us, and we have the life, and we can follow Jesus' example and his way. It's laid out in the scriptures to guide our feet to the way of peace. And the ultimate peace is dwelling with God forever. So over to Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said," it's interesting, Jesus was vexed most of his life by what he saw and what he heard. And there's only a couple of instances where he actually rejoices in the Spirit. So at this instance, he rejoiced in the Spirit, and he goes, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent." Again, that came out in the gifts, you know, that he's hidden the things of the kingdom of heaven from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And so the reason I read this is that human beings cannot possibly know who the Father is unless the Son reveals the Father to them. So we sit here with the Spirit. So we are so special in that Jesus Christ has revealed who the Father is to us. Okay, that's what it says here. You know, all things are delivered to me, i.e. Jesus Christ of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and no man knows who the Father is but the Son. Okay? It's logical. And then it goes on, and also he to whom the Son will reveal him. So we are a people who have been chosen, we've been predestinated. That's incredibly humbling to know that. And that Jesus Christ, because of the will of the Father, has shown us who the Father is. And we can have that understanding that we are the sons of the living God. You know, we're joint heirs. We sang that chorus. We're joint heirs with him because he was gracious enough to show us who the Father is. So we're part of something pretty big. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," these are things of the flesh. These are things that are of the wisdom of the world and prudent in the world. So the Lord's saying here, lay aside all that stuff. You know, we've got a different way to follow, a different thing. We've had an amazing thing shown to us, i.e. the Father. And then it says here in verse 2, as newborn babes, and that's what we read before, you know, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit that God has hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed them to babes. So he wants us to be like as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So we've tasted that the Lord is gracious. That unmerited favour that he's called us to understand things and to know the Father. And then it says there, desire the sincere milk of the word. Have that desire to devour the word, the simple gospel, the simplicity of the gospel, which was in the gifts as well. But the important bit here, it says at the end of verse 2, that you may grow thereby. Now, I've said that a lot lately and I'll say it again. The Lord wants us to grow. He does not want us to stagnate, okay? He wants us to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow. And it was brought out in the gifts as well that if you've got any question to ask and pray about it, and it'll be revealed, you know, in a discussion and a talk and the gifts or whatever, it'll be revealed. Just pray to the Lord because the Lord wants us to grow. And that growth is growing in understanding, growing in strength, knowing this firm rock that we stand on, that we won't be battered with wind and waves, but our house will be built on the rock, not on the sand. Okay, and that part of this conversation that I had was, you know, a lot of people have built their house on the sand because they only understand a little bit of the salvation message and a little bit of the message that's in the scriptures. But we want to grow in strength. If we desire the sincere milk of the word, then we build our house on the rock. There can be people here now who only know a part of the message because, and I, from my observations, I'm sure this happens, that things are said from the lectern or in discussions about the scriptures And when there's things that people disagree with, they switch off and it doesn't sink in. So when you switch off and it doesn't sink in because you disagree with it, you're still only building your house on sand. It's not going to last. It's not going to stand when there's wind and waves battering you. So we can all be sitting here and there's something in us wired where something is brought out in the scriptures, and because you disagree with it, switch off. It doesn't sink in. You know, there's a part of that rock that's missing from your foundation. It's very serious stuff. So desire the sincere milk of the word. Be a babe, knowing that the scriptures are true, despite what our opinion is, so that we may grow thereby. Luke chapter 3. And the scriptures are here. And this is what I've been thinking a bit about lately. The scriptures are here for our encouragement, our edification, our admonition, that we may all grow in strength. That's what they're here for. You know, like you may have an idea in your mind that, oh, you know, like one thing that was thrown around a few weeks ago to me was, you know, oh, that the Bible's sexist. You know, like, but God's written the Bible to all human beings to build them up, that they may grow in strength. And so if you start thinking that there's some sort of sexist aspect to it, you're looking at it wrong. You're looking at it the wrong way. The Bible's here to encourage us so that we can understand our place in the kingdom of God. And so if you have this point of view, your mindset needs to be changed around. You look at those scriptures that you think are discriminatory or whatever, then look at it for, no, these scriptures here are actually teaching me in what's good for me, that we may grow thereby. Luke chapter 3, and just one verse here, and this is such a powerful verse. Nina brings it out in her testimony about when she first came to the Lord. Luke chapter 3 and verse 9, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And when I read this, I imagine, like, we're talking about Christ's vineyard. So, and what's interesting about Christ's vineyard is we are attached to the vine, but we're also workers in the vineyard. It's a funny thing. Just like we're the children of the living God, but as a church, we make up the bride of Christ. So we've been invited to the wedding, and yet we are in the wedding, if you know what I mean. So it's the same sort of thing. We're growing in Christ's vineyard, but we're also tending his vineyard. It's just the way the kingdom of God is. So we're in this orchard, this place where there are trees growing and bearing fruit, and these people that are desiring the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. They are babes, and they just accept what's written in the Bible as true. And the Lord, the tender of the orchard, is wandering through and says, ah, there's a tree there, it's bearing fruit. That's good, there's another tree there bearing fruit. Whoop, walking through, up, there's a tree that's not bearing fruit. And what it says here, the axe is already laid at the tree, at the foot of the tree. So all the person who's tending the orchard needs to do is bend down, reach the axe and cut the tree down. It's simple. He doesn't have to go back to the yard, back to the shed or whatever to try and find the axe that's lost in the tool shed, because as we know, everybody here keeps their tool shed decently and in order so they can find the axe. So the axe is already laid at the root of the tree, so he just needs to bend down and cut it down. It's as simple as that. This is how powerful this verse is. If you stop bearing fruit, that tree will be hewn down. And when a tree stops bearing fruit and is hewn down, you don't see him at the meetings anymore. You know, the care, the riches and the cares of this world choke the word, that they become unfruitful and the tree is cut down. We see it over and over again. It is so powerful. Now, but what the wonderful thing is, there's another scripture where it says, someone says, no, just wait, I'll dung it, I'll fertilize it. Give it a bit of time that it may bear fruit. So the Lord gives us time. There's warnings. When we come to meetings and we read the scriptures, warnings. Oh, yeah, the scriptures say I must be bearing fruit. Whoa, I'm not bearing fruit. Okay, dig back in. Let's get back into it, praying, reading the scriptures, you know, doing the work of the Lord and start to bear fruit. So the Lord warns us. That's the whole dunging aspect. So we're in Christ's vineyard. He wants us to bear fruit and to bring forth good fruit. Otherwise, we'll be hewed down and cast into the fire. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And we know that. He came to those that were far from God. Verse 12. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? We can imagine this, you know, the shepherd of the sheep has 100 sheep. One gets lost. He leaves the 99 behind, tries to find the other one, up and down mountains and everywhere, trying to find this lost sheep. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So Jesus Christ, he is our shepherd. We follow him. So Jesus Christ wants to be in a position to think, yes, there's a group of saints filled with my spirit who have a great vision. You know, they're not lame. They understand where they're at. They understand how to walk in spirit and truth. They're diligent in their prayer. You know, they're feeding on the good things of the scriptures. They come to meetings. You know, they're really a part of and working in Christ's vineyard. He wants to be able to, okay, they're sorted. I want to put my effort in to finding that person who's lost. Okay, he's comfortable. When he's off trying to find the lost sheep, he knows, in the back of his mind, those other 99, they're fine. You know, they're sorted. They're together. They're grazing. You know, they're working together in unity with a common vision, and they're busy about the Lord's business so he can relax. And that's where we want to be. We want to be like that. We're growing strong, we're bearing fruit so that Jesus Christ can be satisfied that, yes, we look for that lost sheep. And also us as individuals, you know, we go off doing the Lord's work, trying to find the lost sheep for him as well, and we know that that things are all sorted within the assembly and things are going well. So, and then, of course, we know from experience that when we find that lost sheep, there's much rejoicing, even more than seeing people just continue walking on in spirit and in truth. It's just the way it is. It's the nature of it all. Matthew chapter 20. We'll actually get to a reference of the vineyard. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven, there's a lot of parables where Jesus starts this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning, to hire labourers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the labourers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the labourers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I'll give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is mine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. So we all get the same reward, regardless of how long we've been walking on. We all do, but we all rejoice in that as well. We all get the same salvation. We all dwell with the living God forever in the Spirit. But there's an interesting part in the middle where the householder, being Jesus Christ, says to the people standing idle in verse 6, found others standing idle, and he says unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? You know, you imagine this, just in the marketplace, standing idle, it's nothing to do. And they said to him, because no man has hired us. So here today, we have people that don't have the Spirit, are standing idle. There's no life in them without the Spirit. They are no good to the kingdom of heaven. They're no good to Christ's vineyard because they don't have the Spirit. They're standing idle. And so we can go along with, well, why is it that you're standing idle? Why is it that you're not working in Christ's vineyard? And they say, because nobody has hired us. Nobody's told us about it. Nobody has come to us to say, first of all, where the vineyard is, and also how to get there. Now, we are people who work in Christ's vineyard. We know where the vineyard is, and we know how to get there. We also know, as we're working away in the vineyard, that then our labour is required. So we go about trying to find these people, telling them all about where the vineyard is and how to get there. And how to get there is repentance, baptism by full immersion, receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. You know, and they hear that when they come to the meetings, and they, after that, they've received the Holy Spirit, they desire the sincere milk of the word, they grow thereby in understanding, and they understand that there's work required in Christ's vineyard, tending the vineyard, working away there, and adding to the kingdom of God. So these people are sitting idle with no Spirit. They need someone to tell them how to get to the vineyard and where it is. And we understand that salvation message, the path that the Lord requires us to follow, and that we are servants. I've said this before, but the word servant in the scriptures means a slave. I mean, that's a very strong language. We are slaves to Jesus Christ. It's a negative term. We always think of negative things, but that's what we do. We chop the head off. We are a slave, we are children. Lord, you are our God, and we follow your ways. But the great thing is, let's use this term, if we're slaves to God and he's the slave master, the beautiful thing is he is such a gracious slave master, and he asks us to follow his ways, but we know that he wants the best thing for us. And if we follow his ways, it's actually good for us. And so that's what, referring back to what I said before, what's written in the scriptures and the instruction in the scriptures and how it's laid out. And there are certain things that are hard to be understood, as it says, hard to be understood. But if we put them into practice, they're actually good for us. He's actually protecting us. There's one scripture I won't go into detail with where it actually says it's a shame. So he actually puts things in the, God puts things in the scriptures to protect us from being shameful or a fool or an idiot. So the Lord has put these in the scriptures for our benefit so that we may grow strong. We just need to serve him and be a slave to him, and we will benefit, and he will raise us up into this vessel of utter purity with no foolishness, but wisdom from God and strength. Last scripture, Luke chapter 17. It's just such an important thing if we can put time aside every day for prayer in the Spirit and reading the scriptures. Luke chapter 17, verse 7. Luke 17 and verse 7. But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, or us, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we've done that which was our duty to do. And this is an important aspect. Again, I've mentioned it before. It's an important aspect with our walk in the Lord. The Lord's asked us to do things, to tend his vineyard, to have a great knowledge of what he requires of us, to do work. But we have this mindset that we do it to please God, not to please men. Because there is that danger that if we do it to please men, it says in the scriptures, you have your reward. That's your reward. It's an earthly reward, a reward that stays here on earth. It's of no benefit. We want a heavenly reward. We want riches in heaven. So we do the work of the Lord. We serve him and we think of different ways to serve him as well. Like, oh, if there's a lack, we do it. We find a way. But we don't look for, We don't look for praise. Yeah, we don't look for praise from people because we get praise from God. And this is the attitude. It's like, well, Lord, I just did what you told me to do. You told me to be a slave to a slave master, and you're my slave master. I just did what I was told. Like it says here that the master doesn't even thank the servant. Like, that's the attitude. I'm an unprofitable servant. I just did what I was meant to do. You told me to do it, I did it. So why is there praise for that, you know? And so like with our walk in the Lord, we just do things, not seeking praise. But people still notice it, though. you just do the things of the work of the Lord and people notice. You don't actually need to have outright praise, but you get that treasure in heaven, laid up in heaven. And that is an important attitude of humility before the Lord. I was going to say something else and I've totally forgotten what it was. Oh, that's right. There was an interesting thing, like, on Sunday between the meetings. It was really quite good. Like, I was sitting at the lunch table and there were a lot of people asking questions. You know, it was really good. Just a few people were in the mood to ask questions about scriptural aspects and concepts and how to apply them in their life. It was just fantastic. And that's what I was just thinking. Like, that's a consequence of people reading the Bible. And the Bible creates questions in our mind. You know, if people aren't reading the Bible, they're not having questions. So if people are asking questions, I know they're reading the Bible because there are many things. The kingdom of God is an incredibly hard thing to explain. As I said before, we are the vines, but we're also tending the vineyard. We are the children of God, but we're also part of the bride of Christ. So there's hard things to explain in the kingdom of God. So people need to read the Bible and ask questions. Seek and you shall find. And so I was actually personally really encouraged by all that talk over the lunch table on Sunday, because it just showed people are there inquiring and they are desiring the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby and to apply it in their lives, that they may bear fruit and grow strong, that their house may be built on the whole gospel, the whole doctrine, not just little bits or bits that are missing, because it's inconvenient to apply it in their lives. So it was just fantastic. So yes, just encourage everyone to carry on doing the work of the Lord. Get out there, look for those people that are standing idle, spiritually dead, and showing them where the vineyard is and how to get there. Okay, thank you.